Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartree's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think by Andy Andrews is a short nonfiction book that blends historical reflection, civic commentary, and moral argument. Framed around the question of how mass atrocities became possible in Nazi Germany, the book argues that widespread deception, passivity, and willingness to accept lies can allow extreme evil to proceed with little resistance. Andrews uses this history to press a broader point about leadership, citizenship, and personal responsibility. Truth is not a decorative value, but a practical safeguard for society. The book is written in a compact, accessible style and is meant for general readers rather than academic historians. It draws attention to the importance of examining sources carefully, thinking critically about public narratives, and judging leaders by principles that do not change with political fashion. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central warning lies make large-scale evil possible. The book's main claim is that mass atrocity does not begin with violence alone. It begins when people are persuaded to accept falsehoods. Andrews uses the Holocaust as the historical example that anchors the entire argument. Rather than treating the event only as a tragedy of force, he emphasizes deception as a mechanism of control. That framing matters because it shifts responsibility beyond obvious perpetrators and toward the broader culture that allowed lies to be believed. The book is not trying to replace detailed Holocaust history, but to highlight the moral logic behind it. When truth loses authority, populations become easier to manipulate. This gives the book its urgency and also explains its political tone. It is less interested in abstract philosophy than in warning readers that dishonesty in public life has consequences far beyond ordinary disagreement. The core lesson is that truth is not just a personal virtue. It is a social defense against cruelty, propaganda, and passive complicity. Secondly, a history lesson aimed at present-day citizenship. Although the book begins with Nazi Germany, its purpose is not limited to revisiting the past. Andrews repeatedly connects historical events to modern civic behavior, especially the tendency to stay uninformed or disengaged. The historical example functions as a warning about what happens when ordinary people stop examining events carefully and instead rely on slogans, assumptions, or partisan identity. In that sense, the book treats history as a practical discipline rather than a memorial exercise. Readers are encouraged to become careful students of the past so they can better judge present choices. This approach makes the book different from works that discuss the Holocaust only as a closed chapter in world history. Andrews uses history to challenge complacency in democratic societies, arguing that active citizenship requires attention, skepticism, and moral seriousness. The emphasis on informed participation also explains why the book appeals to readers interested in civics and public ethics, not only to those seeking historical reflection. Thirdly, truth as a standard above partisan loyalty. One of the book's most distinctive arguments is that truth should outrank left-right political categories. Andrews explicitly rejects measuring leaders by partisan standards and instead calls for an unchanging standard of honesty and integrity. This is important because it moves the discussion away from ideology and toward character and accountability. The book is not simply arguing that one political side is better than another. It is arguing that political judgment itself becomes dangerous when it is detached from factual reality. That position gives the book a nonpartisan tone, but it also makes the argument more demanding. Readers are asked to evaluate claims, leaders, and institutions by whether they are true, not merely whether they are emotionally satisfying or politically convenient. In a media environment shaped by persuasion and tribal identity, this emphasis is central to the book's message. Truth is presented as a moral and civic benchmark that should remain stable even when public opinion shifts. Fourthly, the role of founding principles in judging modern leadership. The book also draws on documents associated with America's founding fathers to reinforce its argument about enduring principles. These references are used to show that leadership should be measured against foundational ideas about liberty, responsibility, and public virtue rather than short-term political gain. Andrews appears to use these materials as evidence that the American tradition contains standards worth recovering, especially when public discourse becomes confused or dishonest. This is not an academic constitutional study, but a selective use of historical texts to illustrate moral continuity. The effect is to place current debates within a longer framework of civic responsibility. By invoking founding principles, the book suggests that truthful leadership is not a new demand, but one deeply tied to the nation's self-understanding. This broadens the book beyond a Holocaust meditation and turns it into a reflection on what kind of society Americans want to preserve. The historical contrast between Nazi deception and American ideals strengthens the argument that civic health depends on honesty at every level. Lastly, a brief discussion-driven book designed to provoke self-examination. The book is notable for its brevity and accessible style. It is short enough to be read quickly, but its aim is not quick entertainment. Instead, it is structured to leave a lingering impression and to prompt conversation afterward. That makes it well-suited for families, small groups, classrooms, and readers who want a concise introduction to civic and moral questions. Its compact form is part of its method by avoiding dense academic detail. It makes a difficult subject approachable for a wider audience. At the same time, the book asks readers to examine their own habits of attention and involvement. It challenges passivity, ignorance, and the assumption that evil happens only elsewhere or only to other people. This self-examining quality is one reason it stands out. Rather than simply informing the reader, it tries to alter the reader's posture toward history, government, and public responsibility. The result is a nonfiction work that is both readable and deliberately unsettling. In conclusion, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think is best suited for readers interested in history, civic responsibility, political ethics, and short-form nonfiction with a strong moral argument. It offers value to those who want a fast read that still raises substantial questions about propaganda, leadership, and the fragility of truth in public life. Parents, students, discussion groups, and general readers may all find it useful because it is accessible without being trivial. What distinguishes it from many books in the same category is its combination of Holocaust reflection and contemporary civic warning. Rather than presenting history as distant background, it uses history to confront present habits of indifference and misinformation. It is also unusual in the way it insists that truth should override partisan identity, making it less a commentary on one political moment than a call for enduring standards. For readers who want a compact book that encourages discussion, critical thinking, and moral self-assessment, it is a distinctive and memorable choice. If you would like to support Andy Andrews, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.